It's really a joy to me to be able to introduce a good friend of mine now, Dr. Eli Hasbani, to be able to be with us today. So Eli, say Eli with me. Eli, okay, so Pastor Eli. One of the things I think you'll be benefited by, at least I hope you will, as I have been, listening to Eli's story, God's working in his life has been inspiring and challenging to me. Though my great hope, of course, of him being able to speak here to us today is that you will feel even a greater pull to God's heart for you. Another reason, a little bit of exposure for Eli here, is that this fall he'll be starting a very unique new church in the Milwaukee area that is very focused on being able to reach different cultural pockets and bring them together, hence the name Ethnos, or you know, the ethnic Ethnos church that'll be taking place there. We're excited about this. Again, it's a value that we own here, which is, you know, to bring all nations of people to be able to be together. But God has uniquely gifted Eli, and you're going to discover that very quickly, to be able to do this type of plant in our corner of the kingdom work, and we are big, big supporters of that. So would you, with me, give Eli a Fox River welcome today?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning. This is a privilege to be with you this morning. Really, my name is Eli, short of for Elijah, which means my Lord is my strength. And my last name is Hasbani. Hasbani. They named the river. Famous river in Lebanon called Hasbani River. It comes a spring in Lebanon and cross to Israel and meet two rivers in Israel, ended it at Sea of Galilee, and where Jesus preached the gospel and walked on this sea. I love Hasbani River. So from my accent, of course, you know that I'm not from here. But this is a privilege anyway to be with you. My accent is a mixture between Arabic, French, and Hebrew. I'm still trying to learn the Wisconsin accent. But it's very difficult, especially at my age. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you gave me this morning to be here and share your message, and especially glorify your name. Help your servant to deliver a clear message with confidence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Encourage us and help us to grow in faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message this morning is to define the biblical faith and encourage us to take God at his word and stepping out with confidence in obedience to his word. I also hope and pray that my stories will encourage you to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, what is faith? Faith is an important word in the Bible. Faith is probably the most important thing in our life. But how do we define it? What is it? The word faith is pistis in Greek, iman in Arabic, amunah in Hebrew, which means belief, trust, confidence, faithfulness. In Hebrew, 11:1 defines faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. After reading and rereading the Bible and passages about faith, I began to see that all God's people mentioned in Hebrew 11 from the Old Testament and New Testament had one thing in common. Each one of them had simply taken God at his word and obeyed his command. And they were remembered for their faith, and they were heroes. For example, God told Noah to build an ark because he was going to bring a massive flood. Noah took God at his word and built the ark. God told Abraham to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. Abraham took God at his word, left his family and nation, and moved to a strange land. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So I had arrived at a simple definition of faith. Faith is taking God at his word. This morning, my prayer for each one of us is to take God at his word. Let me share with you four benefits that faith can bring. Faith brings salvation. Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua, in Arabic, Yeshua, which means God saves. How can one be saved? In Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, the meaning of grace is a free gift. The Bible mentioned grace 156 times, for the grace of God brings salvation to all men. So Jesus died, suffered, died on the cross, resurrected to forgive our sins. He came to save us. He accomplished his mission. All we have to do to receive his redemption by faith. That's it. Free. Let me tell you how God saved me. During the Civil War in Lebanon in 1975, I joined the Christian militia. The Christian militia affiliated with Israel to fight the radical Muslims. I had my training in Israel with IDF, Israel Defense Force, and I fought against the radical Muslims. I lost a lot of friends. If you see in this picture, the right, this guy, he was my best friend. He died. So I understand the significance of this holiday, Memorial Day. To me, it is a holy day to remember those who sacrificed their life for us to give us freedom and live in peace. I carried a weapon to defend my family and to protect my belief and my identity as an Arab Christian in the Middle East. We were looking to live in freedom and at peace with Israel. In the early 80s, missionaries came to our regions and began to preach the gospel. And three of my five sisters accepted Christ and kept telling me about Jesus. As a Christian Catholic, it's a new teaching to me. So I rejected the idea. I started persecuting them. I hid their Bibles. And next day, I found more Bibles on my bed, under my pillow, in my car, all around the house. So I couldn't stop them reaching out to me. In 1985, I was in a military mission to defuse and destroy missiles in the land of enemy. During the mission, I stood on landmine, and the landmine exploded. I was dying on the ground. I was on the ground like a limb rag. I smelled something burning, only to realize it was my flesh. Then I felt pain, a terrible pain in my whole body. I felt like I had been torn to pieces. I tried to lift myself to a sitting position, but I couldn't. Suddenly, a thought came to me. I'm going to die. Now, I'm going to face God. I was so scared. So I know that I'm going to hell. Suddenly, I started to pray and cry out from all my heart, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. If you are alive, save me. Forgive my sins. And if you save me, I will follow you all my life. After I finished my prayers, I heard a voice coming from heaven like a wind. I felt peace. A strange power filled my body. I started to laugh and praise God. Out loud, it wasn't me. I could not comprehend what had happened. I had changed. My troops, when they heard my voice, rushed to my aid. When they saw me smiling and heard me laughing, they thought I had gone crazy. One of them said he must have fallen on his head and damaged his brain. My friend took me to the hospital. After the surgery, the doctor told me, sorry, we couldn't save your leg, the left leg. Now I have prosthetics. I told them, I want to read the Bible. So they gave me the Bible. I start reading the Bible, and God started revealing his love and his truth through this pressure Bible. My friend, this is salvation. The second benefit of faith is that faith makes God listen and brings answers to prayer. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Faith brings all the benefits of salvation into our lives. This includes healing, prosperity, peace, joy, and love. If you pray God's word and the promises of God in faith, God will open heaven to you. After I lost my leg, my life had changed. I struggled to rebuild my life. I needed resources for care, rehabilitation. I became more dependent on other people, on my family. I needed not only physical help because I was damaged emotionally, mentally, socially. My ambition in life changed. So imagine, how could I survive in this situation? I cannot live my life here on earth, especially in Lebanon. I cannot live my life like that. In the third world countries like Lebanon, there are no laws to protect disabled people. They have no right with respect to health care, education, employment, and other things as found here in the United States. You are blessed. This is a great country. So I started lifting my prayer. So, Lord, I want you to heal me, to bring back my leg. So I invited the church and my friend to pray for me, hoping that God would heal me. On that particular night, Jesus came to me in a dream and lit my room with a bright light. I saw myself in heaven. I was stepping on the grass, long grass, that had life. Every time I stepped on it, it did not break or die. That's heaven. I saw my leg growing in front of my eyes until it became perfect. It was an incredible vision that filled me with joy and hope. So I woke with a strange feeling that my leg was still there. I didn't find it later. But I knew that it was Jesus talking to me. I opened my Bible, a verse lit up before my eyes, which said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." I closed my Bible and opened it again, and the same verse came, lit in my faith. My faith. At that moment, Jesus had planted a new hope inside my heart. At that moment, I felt satisfied and convinced that God answered my prayers. God opened the heaven to me because of my prayers. The big comfort for me was when I read Matthew 5:30 says, "It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." I love this verse. I felt God put this verse specially for me. I had lost my leg here, but I had one eternal life. And I will get a new body and perfect leg in heaven. That's my comfort and hope. God also promised me, I'm going to run again. Look at this picture. I mean, this, look. And now I'm running. Not because I can, because of his strength. I run 5K. I organize 5K and 10K in the city of Milwaukee, and I run it all. That's a blessing. That's something I can glorify him. The Lord revealed my call to me through these verses. "I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." So I keep sharing my story because this is also a promise. I will proclaim what the Lord has done in my life. After 25 years or 27 years, I still proclaim what Jesus done in my life. And even this morning in front of you. And that's why I encourage every Christian to share their story, because I believe every Christian has a story with Jesus. And the people need to hear your story. Third benefit of faith is that faith is major key to church plant and to ministry success. Faith is more than believing. Faith is more than thinking, talking, or having convictions about Jesus. Faith is action. It is a movement. It is activity. Faith is something you do. In fact, the Bible says in James 2:14, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. I will never forget the second step of faith that I took in my life to follow Christ. At this stage, Jesus helped me to love people from every nation and even my enemy. I felt God calling me to follow him. So I decided to take this step of faith and leave my family and my country and go to Cyprus to a mission school. So it was a very difficult goodbye for both, my family and me. So I left with no money and on one leg. In this training school, God started working in my life. God taught me to love people of all nations. I lived with people that are different than I am. God stretched me and began to reach out to Muslims. I saw people coming to Christ from Muslims' background. In fact, the first person I led to Christ was a Muslim. And God opened my eyes to see there's a big difference between Islam and Muslims. Islam is an ideology is the spirit of Islam is anti-Christ. But Muslims are people like me who need salvation. People who seeking, they need Christ. So I began to reach out for Muslims. God opened my eyes to see his vision to reach out to the nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. I was excited and ready at that time to go. And God said, no. Go back to your country. No, Lord. No Lebanon. No more. Of course, God won. So I went back to Lebanon to the Bible College in Beirut, where I met my wife, Luna. I began to attend my wife's church. They liked me so much, to the degree wanted me out in the mission field. So Luna and I joined God's mission and planted two churches in Lebanon. So I joined also the reconciliation ministry between Messianic Jews and Arab Christians in the Middle East. And God blessed us so much. We developed many ministries. We were blessed. In 1999, the radical Muslims took control of the area where we were preaching the gospel. They found out about me that I'm a friend of Israel, and I was fighting against them. So they threatened us, and they're trying to kill me. At that time, my wife and myself, we started debating, what next? Where we will go? I told my wife, I'm going to France. Because I did not speak English. It's not my first option, United States. My wife said, no, United States, because she speaks English. And then in the end, this is actually, my second language was French, third language was Hebrew. And of course, my wife won. So it wasn't our idea to come to Milwaukee. It wasn't easy for me to leave my ministry, family, and nation. I came to a great country. We called you as a land of opportunities and freedom and every international dream to come and live here. That's true. To me, it was easy move because I left. It wasn't easy because I left my wife and children behind. I remember when the airplane landed in Michigan, my struggles overwhelmed me. And I sat on the curbside crying. I felt like I lost everything. I didn't know where I was going to go from here. By miracle, God brought my wife and children after exactly 1 month. Day after day, slowly and painfully in many ways, we began to make the transition to a new life in Milwaukee. We became like little children, learning so many new things. I went back to school, entering to a new American system and learning and adjusting to Western culture. We began to learn the culture and the language. We experienced the same culture shock that a missionary who leaves his own home country and moves to another country. God began to open up new opportunities for us to reach out for internationals and the nations in Milwaukee, and put passion in our heart for the city. So God opened and blessed us and began to work with the nations in the city. Our mission was to be light to the nations, including Americans, because Americans are internationals to me. A few years ago, I was looking for another opportunity. My family and I decided to leave Milwaukee because of the cold weather. So I believe there's many reasons to leave Milwaukee. So we got many offers to pastor an Arab churches in different states and to lead mission in several organizations and churches, and God closed every door. And God kept bringing us back to Milwaukee. We were wondering why. So I decided to run away from Milwaukee and go back to Lebanon. I thought maybe the Middle East, you know, I speak Arabic, I want to reconnect to the ministries there. So they arrested me on the Lebanese airport. And they put me in jail. I was like Jonah. I start praying, Lord, take me back to Milwaukee. Milwaukee is better than the Lebanese jail. And he did. He did. He did. Faith makes the impossible possible. Faith allows us to see the unseen and believe the unbelievable. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe. Let's look at this wonderful story in the end when Peter walked on the water. It will help us understand how to walk by faith. Can you open your Bible, please, on Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Page 1524. Verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. In verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I love this. Peter was a really unique man. Peter was a completely drawn to Jesus. Peter wanted to follow Jesus from all his heart. Peter had the courage to step out by faith. Peter took Jesus at his word. At first, Peter's eyes were fixed on Jesus. Peter didn't have to worry about the wind or waves because he had faith that Jesus would not let him sink. While Peter was focused on Jesus, his faith was strong. He could see the power that Jesus held over all things. He knew how much Jesus loved him and that Jesus would never, ever let him down. When Peter looked at the wind and waves, he began to doubt. This is the way when we look at the world around us, when we look at the problem around us and fix our eyes there, then we'll be in trouble. In verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. What an interesting word picture. Peter's doubt caused him to be tossed around in the wind and waves. He began to sink. The good things in this story, in the end, Jesus was with him and saved him. Look at verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You, O little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. I love this story again. Story like this will encourage us to step out by faith and have fun, knowing that Jesus called us to walk on the water. If we didn't move to plant ethnos in the city of Milwaukee, I would not have known you and known the pastor guy. This is a good move to me. Closing, I don't know what step you need to take next. but I do know that you need to take it. For some of you, the next step is to accept Jesus into your life as your Savior. For others, it may be to be baptized. Or for others, get into ministry in your church, small group, give money, go on a mission trip, share your story with others around you. Invite a friend to church, pray, support. Use your gifts, encourage people around you. I don't know what your next step is, but I do know this. To give the faith a fresh start, there's only one source, Jesus Christ. And also I know, without faith, you will receive nothing from God. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. I hope this is clear to everybody this morning. Take God at His word. And remember, faith is action. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love for each one of us. Help us to believe in your redemption and trust you and obey. Please increase our faith. Help us to obey your word and follow your steps, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.